Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter today. And with me in the studio is Barry Coates, who's the founder and CEO of Mindful Money. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Hi.
And Mindful Money is a new charity that helps people invest ethically. It means shifting KiwiSaver and other investment funds away from weapons and fossil fuels and companies that test their products on animals to companies with high standards. So Mindful Money makes it easy, free and quick to invest ethically. And I love their website that compares all the different KiwiSavers. But I've invited Barry in specifically because he's got a Master's in Finance and Management from Yale University. He's worked most of his career on climate change, sustainability and social justice, and he's been head of Oxfam, he's been a Green Party MP and a winner of the New Zealand Sustainability Champion Award. Now, with all of that background, he's particularly globally and understanding the movement of money globally, I think he's in very well positioned to comment on last week's budget. And it was an extraordinary set of circumstances that was given to the government to manage in this budget. One of the bigger challenges of any finance minister ever in New Zealand. And it certainly, on a scale, compares not just with the 2008 global financial downturn, but significantly it looks as though it's heading into the realm of what the Great Depression days were like. And so facing such large-scale unemployment, the government was faced to do something very significant in terms of providing support and background and pouring money into training, getting people into construction and into areas that, where they're needed, and making up for the loss of critical markets like tourism, where the market has just overnight disappeared. So these challenges are pretty significant, and I'm really interested to hear on how Barry, you see it, and in particular last week you had a seminar looking at the budget, and it was an online program that people could participate in their own home, and I just would like you to start in and tell us how that went and what you covered on, and what was significant about the discussion on the budget.
Thanks, Anne-Marie, and thanks for having me on the program. Yes, it was a really, really good panel. One of the things that we looked at is did the budget deliver the kind of framework that would enable us to essentially build back better? So this is a phrase that the government's used quite a lot around the challenge of the budget, to say we're not only recovering, and we're not only going to build back some of the economy that we had that caused problems in the past, we actually want to build back a better economy, a better society. And so really the panel that we convened looked at how did the budget set us up to meet that challenge of building back better? And as you say, I mean, the context is that there's been a big loss of jobs. There will be more jobs lost. And really the short-term focus of the budget had to be on the recovery of jobs, getting people back to work and getting the economy going again. That being said, we wanted to look at, so are we doing that in a way that makes it possible for us, for example, to address climate change, or make it possible to ensure that more people have a decent standard of living and we don't leave too many people behind in poverty as we have at the moment? And are we properly protecting the environment? moving forward. So those were some of the considerations that we had.
That's a very strong positioning of what the budget is intending to do, and I particularly think it's worth mentioning that a high proportion of current job seekers, and it's over 40%, who are currently receiving a job seeker benefit, are in fact first timers who've never received job seeker benefits. They've never been on the unemployment benefit ever in their lives before. And that, I think, is a very significant statement, because we've never seen that kind of situation in New Zealand. So we've got ordinary, hard-working New Zealanders just living on next to nothing, and because the job seeker benefit is $250 a week, and yes, you might get a rent subsidy tacked on to that, or you might get some extra assistance with your mortgage, but you know, for someone who's been on anywhere between $600 and $900 and more a week, that is a huge drop in income. So that's the reality that is facing people today. And apart from the fact of feeling any stigma associated with receiving such funds, there's the difficulty of actually, what are you going to do and how are you going to envisage a new future? So that's the issue that is kind of in the backyard, if you like.
That's right.
But in the front yard, where we've got to manage things on a strategic level, we've got to look at, the standard of living. Is it going to be adequate?
So
how long are people going to have to survive?
Yeah.
And how quickly can we get new industries going? I know that when you were in Parliament, your party, the Greens, were very, very keen on us developing new tech options so that New Zealand would be able to lead in the world and be ahead of the game and would have some cushioning of any impact of any downturn or any big dramatic impact from climate change, like earthquakes or flooding or whatever. And we've seen that New Zealand's coped with a number of events like this, and they will be increasing in the future, and they're not going away anytime soon. So having industries built up that can cushion the impact of some of these things is important too.
Yeah, so that issue around benefits was one of the things we talked about on the panel.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the level of benefits, it is way smaller than the wage subsidy that the government has been offering to tide people over during the lockdown. And that payment to tide people over the lockdown has been $585 a week, whereas, as you said, the benefit is far lower. For a single person, around $281. So what it says is, with this number of people coming in to the job seekers allowance, we actually need to be relooking at the level of benefits in New Zealand. And the government has received a report last year from what's called the Expert Group on Welfare, and they recommended a number of changes to the welfare system in order to try to make it a fairer system, try to make it a system that gets people back into jobs, helps them get back into jobs, and also provides a sort of a decent standard of living. And most of those recommendations from the report haven't been put in place.
No.
And so we were disappointed that that wasn't included. There was nothing on that included in the budget. However,
no.
I did want to say there are some good things that were included. The government spent a big amount of money on shoring up our core public services. This is our healthcare system, our education system, and these are the core services that people look to the government to provide. And these have been run down over the past decades. We haven't kept up our spending with the needs of our society for decent healthcare and to ensure there's decent education. And so what the budget does is it puts basically $5 billion, which is a lot of money, into boosting healthcare and education services. And that's really an important announcement. A second thing that they've done is they have started this process of creating some new jobs. And one of the things that they did, which was very clever, is they put some money into environmental improvements. And this is kind of important. It's over $1 billion. And it's things like pest control, getting rid of pests from our native forests. It's protecting habitats, protecting coastlines, clean waterways, and protecting wetlands. So these are really important areas for habitats, and it's also tackling issues like the loss of biodiversity, which is a real crisis internationally and in our country. So that's a good jobs program because it has long-term benefits. It creates things that we all can benefit from, and those jobs don't require a huge amount of capital equipment. They can be done quite quickly. People can be trained to do this work, and they're going to provide immediate employment. So we thought that was a very good thing. Also in there is one or two measures on climate change, not enough in the view of the panel. And one of the problems is that climate change is going to be a long-term crisis. So while we've got the COVID crisis at the moment, all of our thinking is around that. But actually, simultaneously, we've got a climate crisis, and sometimes we don't recognize the impact of this crisis. So, for example, the drought that we're having in New Zealand is reckoned by climate scientists to be more likely to happen under climate change. So you see more and more of these extreme weather conditions that we're going to have to face in future because we're not acting fast enough on climate change. And so we're going to get more and more problems of these extreme weather events, and we have to be prepared for them, and we have to reduce our emissions so we can stop them happening. So that's important. And in the budget, there was a little bit of money for the healthcare sector and government services generally to transition away from climate change. One of the examples is that many hospitals have their boilers fueled by coal, and that can easily be transferred over to being fueled by biomass or by electricity. So those kind of changes are good changes, and there's some money in there in the budget. And the final thing in the budget that's good is it's two things. One is money for affordable housing. So the government put in there $5 billion for the building of 8,000 new homes. And that's really important because rents are still too high, house prices are still too high, they're unaffordable for so many New Zealanders, and this kind of affordable housing program can really make a difference. And the final thing that they had in there was really good is there's quite a lot on in there for job training and retraining. So for young people being able to get their first job at a time of high unemployment, there's training assistance there. For people who are having to switch from one career to another, there's training assistance there, and some of it's targeted to the provinces and to particular groups like Pacifica and Māori in particular. So those are some good things in the budget.
Yeah, no, that's a good summary, and along the lines of what I would be wanting to champion myself if I had the opportunity of importing. Certainly, with the housing, it'll be interesting to see whether there's any shift in the housing for the disabled, because our current Kiwi build, last time I looked at the figures, was only 11% of the new builds were for disabled people, when we've got a figure of about 24% currently in the population. Of course, not all of those are long-term permanent disability, some are short-term, but I do think that we have got, with an ageing population, a greater need for universal design and the building of new builds, and we need the government to be leading by example, because there's certainly the need out there.
I absolutely agree with that, and as you know, Anne-Marie, when I was in Parliament, I was the spokesperson on seniors for the Green Party, and wrote a report basically that endorsed that and said that all of our housing should be made accessible for all and certainly friendly to people with disabilities and to people who are ageing and having difficulty in being able to manoeuvre their way around the house.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of ways of doing intelligent design. It doesn't necessarily have to cost more.
Yep.
But it, to alter it after it's built costs
yep.
10 times more.
Yep.
So that it makes no sense to build it and alter it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about you've covered off your favourite announcements. Are there any areas and gaps that you haven't covered off that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, so there's still some more money available. So the government spent a lot of money in this budget. And,
uh-huh.
one of the things that we said is the government's starting from a position where government debt is really low. It's also starting from a position where interest rates are at a historic low. They're really, really low. And so what that means is that any interest on the government debt is very small. So we could not be in a better time to borrow money. Mm. And I think this there's a lot of concern about public debt. But actually, if you look at the figures, at the end of all of the spending from the budget, New Zealand's debt as a proportion of our national income will be way below the United Kingdom or way below USA or most other countries. So we're still going to be in a kind of like a responsible position for the government. So I don't think people should stress too much around going into high levels of debt. The government still...
Yes, I think there is a sort of an innate fear about this debt, but at the same time, it's easy to look back at the Great Depression and see what doing nothing and not investing funding...
Absolutely right.
...produced. I mean, it produced far higher levels of unemployment that went on much longer. It took a long time to get the economy going again.
Yeah. And you know, kind of like the COVID crisis where the government moved quickly and moved hard on the COVID crisis, I think in a way the budget is trying to do that with the economy, is trying to say we need to spend in order to get the economy working again. We need to be able to avoid exactly the situation that you said, that we have a really bad depression and we get many, many thousands of people out of work. By going hard in the budget and by spending some money, the government can basically give us a chance to come out of this economic situation with some costs, some economic costs, some personal costs in terms of people being unemployed, but far lower than it would have been if we hadn't spent this money. So, and the other thing is, we're coming up to a situation where the government's still got $20 billion in its pocket to spend. Mm. And this is where our panel said, you know, this is really the time that we need to be spending on preparing ourselves for the future. Not looking backwards, but saying, what do we need for New Zealand to be the best country in the world for our infrastructure, the best country in the world in terms of our economy, the best country in the world in terms of producing agricultural products that are sustainable and high value, so that we're able to earn good returns from our agriculture, and particularly, how can we use the rebuild process to to move towards a lower emissions of greenhouse gases to avoid climate change. So this is, you know, there's a long list of things that we could be doing. So, for example, the Greens said, isn't it time that we built a decent rail system in this country? Why not have fast trains that go between Auckland, Hamilton and Tauranga, for example? Why not extend them down to Wellington so that people can actually commute rather than having to hop on aeroplanes? Why not connect up to Whangarei and to help the development of Northland? And so there are many ways that projects like a rail system, like proper shipping infrastructure can help. But also projects like really helping our agricultural system become more sustainable. And at the moment, we pour lots of fertilizers and pesticides into our land, but we're not actually spending enough time nurturing and composting and building the productive soils for our agricultural system. So those kind of issues are important. And then the other thing that is important is that we really have to kind of bite the bullet on looking after our environment. And for too long, I think most Kiwis realize that we haven't taken the steps that we need to take. For example, on our fresh water. You know, when I was young, we used to be able to hop into any river in New Zealand and be able to swim. And now we can't because we're likely to get sick by going into many rivers across New Zealand. You know, our kids, grandkids should not be inheriting this problem. We need to make sure that we actually take care of the environment and take care of our natural world. And that means really looking after our environment properly. So you know, those kind of challenges should be addressed in the spending of the next tranche of $20 billion. They can still create lots of jobs, but also they look to the future. They look to that issue of how can we build back better? How can we build a more productive, more resilient, and more sustainable society in future? And I think that's the kind of sweet spot that the government's got to try to get to in the next round of government spending.
Yeah, indeed. You put that very well, Barry. I think that it's very easy for people to get stuck into arguments in their own backyard. But what we need to be doing is zooming up to 10,000 feet and having a proper overview. So at this point, we are thinking now about your situation in being an educator and an informer, in a way of bringing people up to speed with what the issues are. Tell us about the seminar series that Mindful Money is doing, and what have you got upcoming?
Yes, we've been doing six of these weekly seminars. They're at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoons, and they're entirely free. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the Mindful Money Facebook page, which is called Mindful Money Movement NZ on Facebook. Or most people probably would like to log in on Zoom. I don't know if your listeners have Zoom, but it's become really popular during the lockdown. So lots of people have probably got it. Log into the seminars and you'll find information on Mindful Money's website on the seminar series. The website is www.mindfulmoney, all one word, .nz, www.mindfulmoney.nz. And the next one we've got on is on Thursday. It's somebody called Dr. Roger Spiller. And many people know Roger because he's a real pioneer of this issue of ethical investing in New Zealand. And it's going to be a fascinating seminar. So I'm in discussion with him, and I'm going to be asking him questions like, so what does ethical investment do? How can people benefit from it? What are the financial returns that you can get from it? Does it make a difference in terms of a better environment and a better society? And so we're going to talk about that, and he's going to also talk about the role of a financial advisor, and particularly he's a financial advisor who specialises in ethical investing. So that's on at 4 p.m. on Thursday. On the following weeks, we've got one on a new style of ethical investing called ESG management. So we've got people from Kiwi Wealth and Mercer and AMP who are there to talk about that. So that's on the 28th of May. And then on the 4th of June, we've got Mary Holm. Now, most people will have read Mary Holm's columns in the newspapers and heard her on Radio New Zealand. She's fantastic. She's coming in to talk about ethical investing. And so that's on the 4th of June.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, if people miss out or they're not available at 4 o'clock on Thursdays, are there replays of the... Is the Zoom recorded and are there replays?
Yes. So if people want to, they can go to that website, go to the Mindful Money website, and they can get the recording there by following the links to events. And in there is the seminar series, and there's recordings and a short summary of each of these seminars. So as I say, we've had six of them so far. And there's all sorts of interesting stuff. Like one of the things that we looked at is, have ethical funds done well financially during the COVID crisis? And we did the research, and what we found out was that if you invest ethically, it not only do you feel good about what you invest in, so you avoid investing in kind of bad stuff that you don't want, like, you know, companies that test products on animals or companies that do human rights abuses or, you know, invest in weapons and so on. You can avoid those, and you can just invest in the companies that have good things in their portfolios. But, you know, in addition, people think, oh, well, you know, it's ethical. Maybe it's going to have lower financial returns. And what we found out was exactly the opposite, that if you invest ethically, over the last quarter, you would have earned better returns than the average KiwiSaver would have earned. So all of that information is there. At the moment, Mindful Money is concentrating on KiwiSaver, but next month, we're going to extend that to all sorts of investment funds. So many of your listeners may not have KiwiSaver, but please do go to the Mindful Money website, because very soon you're going to be able to have the information on any investment fund, whether or not it's KiwiSaver. And for a lot of people, I know they're interested in ethical investing, and this is a really quick, easy and free way to be able to get into ethical investing.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. We've been delighted to have you on the program, and you've given us lots to think about and lots of context for people to follow up. Now, next week, I'll be following this money trail, looking at the council spending, and our guest is Richard Northey, who's chair of the Waitemata Local Board, but he's been a cabinet minister, so he's familiar with local and central government spending. So that's going to be an interesting follow-up. And we have other sessions planned on money, because it's so important to people at a time of crisis. And it's so important that you use your money wisely. So I thank you, Barry, for coming in. It's been an absolute delight. And I look forward to getting in on the act with Zoom and getting to hear Mary Holm and some of these other people. So thank you for the information. And I'm also working on coming up with a resource list so that people will be able to make email contact with us at Planet FM, and we can flick out a resource list. So if you haven't had your pen handy, we haven't been able to scribble down website links and so on, you'll be able to contact us and get it. So thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we'll look forward to having you on board next session.
Thanks for having me on, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Barry. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.